Chapter 22. Petra woke to a cock crowing, pulled out of a dream in which she and Robin had been searching for each other at a masked ball, with masked enemies constantly intervening. She lay there in the morning light, letting the frantic urgency fade. She knew where he was, stoating, being cared for by his friend, Captain Rose. But he would be worried. She remembered how kind he was to Coquette, even though he didn't really want the dog, and how genuinely he'd been concerned for his servants at Mère Goulard's. Men were trained to be protective of women, and some took that seriously. She supposed he did. She sat up. There was nothing for it. She must find a way to get a message to him to assure him she was all right. She got out of bed, wincing at some stiffness, and dressed in her new clothes. Over her shift, she tied on a linen skirt that had probably once been brown, but which had been washed and faded to a motley beige. She added a rust-coloured sleeveless bodice that laced up the front, grateful that this one was a little large rather than in danger of popping. The plain, elbow-length sleeves of the shift covered her arms. There was also a floppy-frilled mob cap that hid her face, and a brown-knitted shawl. She went downstairs, and the old woman beamed at her. "Sleep well, dear." "Very well, thank you. You've been so kind."
"Not at all. It's been a treat for me. Sit you down and have an egg."
There was only coarse bread and water on the table, but the woman cooked an egg for each of them and put out a bowl of plums from her tree. As they ate the simple food, Mistress Waddle said,
"Are you sure you want to go on, dear?"
Petra smiled at her. "I can't stay here. No, I have a destination, but it isn't London."
"Ah, then where do you go?"
Even now, an instinct for secrecy made Petra name only a town en route. After all, one of Robin's searchers might find this place. "Guildford. It's southwest of London."
"Never heard of it," the old woman said. "But Thad Hythe at the Three Cocks likely has."
Cocks. Robin. An omen? Coquette. Cock. Robin. The Coke Door. The Three Cocks. "I'd also like to send a letter, but I have no idea how it is done in England." Or whether she could conceal its origins.
"A letter?" Mistress Waddle echoed, as if Petra had said, "I would like to catch a unicorn." "Parson would have pen and paper, and squire, and probably Mistress Kershaw, as lives near the church, but—"
"Please don't concern yourself," Petra said quickly. "I wouldn't want to send it from here, anyway." Mistress Waddle nodded, but Petra knew that she'd ruined any illusion that her problems were minor.
"Thad'll likely have paper and pen. Has to do a bit of writing and reckoning, running the tavern. We'll walk down after we've eaten."
As they walked into the small village, however, Petra knew this was unwise. Any hunters coming through here would learn all about Mistress Waddle's foreign guest. Everyone gave them a cheery greeting. Often it was Ellie, twice it was Ma, and once Gran. Everyone asked, "Who's that with you?" To each, Mistress Waddle said,
"Nice young lady from abroad, helping her on her way."
The Three Cocks was merely a cottage that did its business in the front room, and the inn sign was crudely painted on the front wall. They went around the back, where Mistress Waddle called a cheery, "Good morning," as she walked in through the open door. After a surprised but welcoming flurry of greetings, the story was told.
"Lawks!"
exclaimed Mistress Hythe, stocky and high-coloured.
"I'll get paper and things, though Lord knows when it was last used." "Guildford, eh?"
said Thad Hythe, who was tall and thin.
"Sit a while, auntie, and you, ma'am."
Petra sat, smiling at her hostess. "Is the whole village related to you?" The woman chuckled.
"Not quite, dearie. Thad's my cousin Meggs's boy, but I suppose that counts."
Speenhurst was a close community of friends and family,
and Petra envied them. But then she thought how poor most of them seemed to be. Poor, but not complaining. And they did seem to have tolerable houses and enough food, even if it was all simple. Happiness and security came in many forms. Mistress Hive came back with 2 sheets of cheap paper, a few quills, and a little pot. "Ink's dry," she said, "but a bit of water'll fix that." Petra inspected a quill, asked for a sharp knife, and mended the point. When the ink was ready, she dipped, and then thought to ask, "What day and date is it?" How strange not to know. "It's Friday, ma'am, the 20th of July." Petra wrote that at the top, trying to decide what to say. The ink was thin and the paper rough, so this was going to be a sorry piece of work, but it was the words that mattered. She must avoid expressions of fondness, but she didn't want it to be cold. "To my admired protector." That was unsatisfactory, but it would have to do. "I know you must be concerned, which is poor reward for your kindness, but please know that I am well and with friends. I hope the same is true of you." She knew what she had to include. "I promise you that I will keep my word. If I am in need or distress, I will send to you for help. So if you do not hear from me, you'll know all is well. Farewell, my friend. You will dance more lightly through life without a pebble in your shoe."
"There, see," said Mistress Waddle with pride. "Doesn't that look pretty?"
Petra looked up to see the others watching, as if she were performing some remarkable feat. As she folded the note, she resolved that one day she'd send the kind lady a piece of perfect penmanship on thick, smooth paper. She wouldn't be able to read it for herself, but Petra knew she'd enjoy it.
"I have a bit of sealing wax," Mr. Hyde said, with pride, and produced it and a candle.
He carefully dripped red wax onto the flap, and Petra pressed it down with the handle of a knife that lay on the table. To settle it, she pressed again with her finger, remembering Robin's signet. That had been proof of a lie, however, that he had lied in some way about his identity. She turned the letter and dipped her pen again and wrote, "To Robin Bonchurch, Esquire, by kindness of Captain Rose, the Black Swan Inn, Stoating, Kent." She rose and thanked them. "I'll find a way to send it farther down the road." Mr. Hive had been thinking.
"Guildford, eh? You want the Maidstone to Guildford Road, then. Good road, that is, just up north of here."
"There would be coaches. How much would a seat on a coach cost?" She was sure she couldn't walk another full day.
"That'd be costly, miss, but you can travel cheap by wagon."
"Wagon?"
"Lots of wagons on the Guildford Road carrying goods, see? Travels slow, no faster than walking, but cheap. Saves your souls," he added with a chuckle that meant nothing to Petra. "Souls on your shoes, dear," Mistress Waddle said, "and your eternal soul. I suppose it's different when English isn't your own language."
"Yes, it is," Petra said with a smile. But again her thoughts turned back to Robin. What had it been? Kicking heels. She made herself think about her journey. She wanted to travel as fast as possible, but if she depleted her money, she would be in a desperate situation if Lord Hrothgar rejected her, or if she decided it was wisest to flee. A few extra days now would do no harm.
"I think I would like to travel by wagon," she said. "Then we can help you on your way. Alice is off to visit her sister near Micklebury. That's almost to the Guildford Road. And," said Mr. Hythe, clearly delighted to be the guide, "she could put your letter in the post there."
Petra thanked him warmly. "How much will it cost to send the letter?"
"Nothing, if you reckon the person getting it'll pay."
Petra considered that, but surely Captain Rose would pay for this letter. He was clearly not short of money, whereas she was.
She returned to the cottage to put her other clothing into a bundle made of the better half of a worn-out sheet. She accepted some bread from Mistress Waddle and tucked a silver sixpence behind a pot where her hostess wouldn't find it for a while. Later, she'd find a way to properly repay this astonishing kindness, but for now she simply hugged the woman before hurrying back to the Three Cocks. Mistress Hive was waiting in a small two-wheeled vehicle drawn by a donkey. She called farewell to her husband and clicked the animal into action. Thus Petra bounced off into her second day on the road, giving thanks for being well-rested, well-fed, and having a fairly clear plan for her journey. What's more, her appearance was so changed that any hounds still on her trail would fail entirely.